the producers.
Now.
Sound is everything.
It's lucky for us.
Identify.
We'll do you good.
Anarchy IDs.
Is this thing working? Give me some sound over here.
Press the button, my friend.
Identify.
This is
Identify.
You're listening to
Beats and
Beats. Your own unique identification.
I can see is
identify.
Audio branding tools.
I am, for the first time, optimistic.
Identify.
Voiceover elements.
One.
Two. Hit music.
More music.
Right here.
All the hits.
All weekend.
Win. Follow us on Twitter.
Right now.
Risers and wipes.
Wipe.
Identify. Drones. Rhythmic sound design.
Identify yourself.
These letters are...
Hey, who is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to introduce...
The song you know.
Attention, please.
You've just heard one of the most remarkable applications.
Hear it before anyone else does.
Impacts.
Identify.
Breakers and combos. Identify.
Sound Freaks Mike Young Studio Collaboration.
It's one thing to be able to just create funky sounds, because, you know, people can do that, and then there's, you know, some like you and other guys I've talked to that are really good at it. But then is there a process, or do you have tricks or techniques to actually then turn them into usable elements for guys like me that actually produce the imaging? Well, you produce the imaging too, but you know what I mean? Like, for the imaging producers, do you have some trick to get it to that point?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a trick, just kind of... Well, I think it's kind of organized. It's like organized chaos, but I mean, I'll do the weird stuff and try to capture these little parts, and I'll you know, sometimes I'll throw some dying batteries in a toy and record the sound of a malfunctioning, you know, because you're getting things to do things that they're not supposed to do, and you could probably never get them to do again. So I'll get those, and then along with all the other parts, I'll go through, you know, the whole tracks, and I'll just start picking out things that really ended up sounding really cool. And I'll start hacking those out and kind of organizing those sounds in different folders. I kind of doing a little mastering and not too much EQing while I'm going along, but just getting a nice levels and all that, so that that my core source sounds are workable. You know what I mean? They if that makes sense. Then I just kind of... pick through those, you know, and just start layering.
Talk about organization a little bit. I have people ask about that often, you know, not just organizing the files you use, but just in general, organizing sound. Do you find that difficult? I mean, it's obviously an important thing to do. Have you found a really good system that helps you work faster?
I think so, but it's still pretty chaotic. You know, I have folders named hits, wipes, whooshes, abstract noises, like breaker cores, stuff like that. And I just kind of, I bounce them out into those folders from those, what I call like loading sessions, you know. I just have tons of folders like that, probably 30 different folders labeled with all these different sounds. So that's kind of how I keep them organized.
Talk about the gear. You mentioned running them through different processors. Do you like outboard gear? Do you like software plugins, both?
Definitely both. I'll run a lot of stuff through, I just have a bunch of old guitar pedals and weird things like that that I'll run through. So I do that a lot as the basic core sounds. But once they get into those other folders, sometimes I'll run them through another session and do even more manipulating of the sounds, running them through different plugins and stuff like that, and just using all kinds of different sound sources and different pedals, and just really mixing them up so that you don't get, so everything doesn't sound the same. You know, you can get a lot of coloration on your overall products if you keep using the same stuff over and over. So, you know, whether it be your source where you're getting it from to your plugins, it's just great to keep switching things up, and it just it gives your palette way more contrast to work with when you're building and layering later on.
You mentioned Pro Tools before. Are you doing everything in Pro Tools?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I've been on Pro Tools for a while.
Yeah, I learned Pro Tools years ago. So I'm stuck. Never worked on, never owned a PC. Always been a Mac guy.
Yeah, I was going to ask that next. So you're a Mac guy. Mm-hmm. You know, have you ever even had a, you know, have you ever encountered a Pro Tools PC machine?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I don't like to get involved in that Mac versus PC debate. You know, personally, I do everything on PCs, but I don't care one way or the other. But people always find it interesting, you know, to hear what others use and why is all, you know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's just whatever works for you, just, you know, make it happen, make it work. It doesn't matter.
This is like a two-part question, but what are some of your favorite plugins that you use to, you know, color up the audio? I don't know, EQs, compressors, that kind of thing. What are some of your favorite plugins?
I love Lo-Fi, Pitch Shift, TrueVerb is always cool for a good reverb. There was a company that had, I think they were called Plugo. I think they discontinued it, but
yeah,
they
had that name is familiar.
Yeah, they had some really weird, cool, trippy plugins for a while, but I don't think they're...
Did they have like vocoders or something? What did they do?
They just had a bunch of weird stuff. I haven't used them for a while because I think they stopped supporting them around Pro Tools 7.4,
I think.
And I don't think you can even get them. I'm not sure if they're even on the site anymore. But they just had all these really weird stuff called like squirrel effect and God, I'd have to look it up and
yeah.
But they just had tons and tons of really wacky stuff, and I mean they were just great. Lots of fun experimentation with those.
Yeah, they might still be out there somewhere. What about VST plugins or either instruments or? Do you ever use that with like what is that wrapper? I was talking to somebody the other day, but you have to use that VST wrapper in Pro Tools or something.
Yeah, no,
I never really get into them because I'm too lazy to figure it out in Pro Tools. I didn't know if you were into those, if you used, because there's a ton of them out there. I mean, there's just so many.
I use Reason, you know, some of the synths in there, like Maelstrom, Subtractor, and stuff, and I like to just. You know, I got to change the sounds that are in there on the stock sounds. You know, it's no fun using the stock stuff. So, kind of try and twist them out of shape and make them my own. You know, if I can. But I like using those. And one other plugin that I really love that's just so insane and incredibly cool is Speakerphone by Audio Ease.
Oh, yeah, they have Speakerphone 2 out now, right?
Yeah, Speakerphone 2. Yeah.
Have you? I haven't used that one yet. Is it much better than the first Speakerphone?
Speakerphone 2 is the only one I have. It's the only one I've ever worked on. So, but it's, you know, it's just insane how they recorded all the impulse responses of all the old record players and radios and toys and stuff like that. I mean, it's just an incredibly fun, weird, cool plugin.
And so you actually, because I'll use that to get some like secondary or. You know, extra layers to voice, but you're actually running different instruments and different hits and impacts and stuff through that, different sounds through that.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
And then what other kinds of things do you have in your studio? Especially what are some of the things you feel like you have to have, you know, producing imaging, we'll say, maybe not necessarily making the sound design elements. You know, obviously you got a Pro Tools rig, but anything else you must have items for your studio?
No, just kind of the plugins that I mentioned, you know, my Glyph drives, my NS10s, Yamaha NS10 monitors. I just really love, you know, doing stuff on those. I think it's just super important to have good speakers. I know, as lame as that sounds, I mean, if you're going to be doing imaging, you got to have some really good monitors.
Do you do any or much voice work?
No, I sneak my voice in once in a while on things, but no, haven't gotten into that. I think I did two stations once upon a time, but I'm not even going to mention them right now. I don't want anybody hearing them.
So are you like not really a big mic guy then? Or, I mean, I still imagine you still have to have some good mics in there to mic some of the stuff you're recording.
Yeah, I have Neumann U87. I have SM7, 58, 57. And then I have my digital Zoom recorder, portable recorder for going out and doing, you know, recording weird stuff out in the city.
Are you one of these guys that kind of keeps that with you all the time? And, you know, you'll be walking around somewhere with friends and just suddenly stop and run over and start recording something?
Yep, that's me. I'm the geek, you know. And you know, when I don't have it with me, I have the cool little app on my iPhone, Retro Recorder. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's...
I've got a couple on the Android. I've got an Android phone, but yeah, I've got a couple use sometimes.
Retro Recorder is really cool. It can help you out in a pinch, you know, if you need stuff. I've gotten some cool crowd noises and things at like weddings and baptisms and stuff like that from just having that. But yeah, people give me weird looks when I pull out the recorder and wait, you know, and go off.
There may not be a simple answer to this, but the one thing I notice whenever I'm not really that guy. I'm not really recording sounds that often, but there'll be times when I'll be like, wow, okay. An example would be I have to make promos for NASCAR racing all the time. So I'm out at the track one time and I decide, all right, I'm going to actually record my own sounds. And inevitably, you always have too much background. You know, I can't get just the crystal clear audio of a car coming left or right, you know, loud engine.
Right.
So besides just saying gate it, I mean, do you have tricks that you use to make the audio sound bigger and clearer? Because I hear sound design guys all the time with just these amazing sounds. Or is there no real trick and you just have to be cool like you?
No, I'm not that cool at all, as you can tell by the interview. But I think you have to get the stuff isolated. I mean, you can kind of fake your way through with like what you're saying at NASCAR stuff with some crowd ambience sometimes. But, you know, unless you can get on the track when nobody's there or, you know, make a phone call and to the pit crew and go, hey, look, I'm doing some sound design, you know, sometimes they'll think that's cool and let you over and do some stuff like that or go to the, you know, gun range or shooting range, I mean, and get stuff like that. But, it's good to get the stuff isolated if you can, but that's not always the case. So you just do the best you can, and sometimes stuff is unusable, and some stuff is great, you know. Like Vegas, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get some great slot machine sounds, and, you know, you just hear chaos all around you. So that didn't work unless I'm going to do a drunk poker spot. But, you know.
Yeah, and then that's my problem, in fact. When you talk about this, I'll be places. I'll know I want this sound, but I know there's way too much ambient crap going on. And then I'll have a sound effects library or some other sound design producer just has the best slot machine sound ever. And I guess they're really spending the time to isolate it, whether that means they get a slot machine by itself or close down a casino.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, Foley artists, you know, they just have connections and can get access to, you know, a bunch of different things to record. So,
and I wanted to talk when we're talking more of the technical stuff here. When you're creating beats and beds, I know musically you do some of it, but any specific tools you like to use when creating your, you know, more your beat driven stuff?
I've had a lot of really good luck with Reason. Yeah, just layering a couple different snares, you know, making your own foundation beat on there, and building it that way, just kind of see where it takes you. You know, you might have a beat in your head, some kind of hip hop beat and you go from there, or might just start with a kick and then all of a sudden it takes you to some trip hop techno beat and you just kind of go with it and see where it takes you.
People have written in, I think there's more people than we know that are interested in the actual sound design, but they're really interested in not just, you know, oh, hey, look, I made a sound, okay, I'm done, but talk about how the process works a little more from when you come up with the basic stuff, then you organize it, and then you layer, but get a little more into how that works.
Okay. Yeah, as I mentioned, aside from the chaotic stuff that I try to capture, I also go in and I start experimenting with other keyboards and getting some real ethereal drone type stuff for some of my elements and manipulating them even further from their original source sound. I'll go to flea markets and get weird toys, basically anything that makes sound, bring those in, mic them up, or if I'm lucky enough to get a toy with an output on it, throw those into the mix. I think it's really important to have a bunch of different sound sources and effects to just give it more contrast. And when you start layering things, I think it's very important to do a lot of panning, some drastic EQing. And panning is a lot like EQing sometimes because it gives things more space. It gives some of the sounds their own definitive spaces and moves other things out of the way. So, you know, panning is very important. You might want to pan some stuff really wide and some things down the center, some things all over the place, but it's good not to have them all clashing. Mm-hmm. So those are really important things when you're layering. So
do you, as far as like counter EQing in producing sound design, do you do a lot of that?
Like filtering and like just,
yeah, where, totally. Whereas let's say you're going to layer six or seven different things together, but you know that like this element's going to take up this part of the spectrum and this is going to take up, do you sort of counter EQ stuff? I know that's something that I'm not very good at myself, but I know a lot of good producers will do that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely keep that stuff in mind. And also not so much with breakers, because they're always, you know, used for starting things or separating stuff. There's not tons of VO over breakers, but a lot of the other elements, yeah, I keep voices in mind. Again, though, you never know how the producer is going to use them and if he's going to be panning voices here and there. But yeah, definitely move some things out of the way. Sometimes take some of the higher frequencies out of, you know, a drone where you know somebody's going to be talking over. Maybe remove, you know, the higher end of the voice spectrum just so it makes it easier for the producer, for the voice to cut through when he's working with the elements.
I didn't actually mention this yet, but I wanted to. One thing I like about your stuff is it's produced very fat. You're obviously, you know, mastering your stuff well so that, you know, it's very easy to use because it's already really loud. I don't have to spend time boosting up levels. If anything, I can just duck some levels here and there. But what are you doing in the mastering process, or is it some final compression you're adding? Is it special plugins you like?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. You know, I think I mentioned it earlier. I try and be conscious of that while I'm recording the sounds and bouncing them while I'm working on them. You know, the sources are pretty good to begin with. I watch the levels. I make sure they're not just, you know, don't overcompress. Don't, you know, crank them up and get them all distorted. Record them, you know, too loud. Stuff like that. It's just I kind of manually do that, and I think it helps in the overall end mastering. But I like to use the Ultra Maximizer a lot, again, then when it gets to final,
the L1,
yes, the L1,
yeah.
You know, I use those on a lot of the elements and stuff. So when it comes to the mastering, it's kind of already pretty much sitting there, you know, sounding really nice for me, and I'll use the Renaissance compressor, and you know, and I'll use the L1 again as well.
Now I think what I've found over the years, now it's literally been years I've been doing this podcast, the Waves plugs always at the top of people's lists, and the Renaissance stuff gets brought up a lot, and then the L1 gets brought up by just about everybody.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those tools that you definitely are everyone's favorites.
I think that Waves is offering their plugins now in like little six packs, or like they're selling them a lot slimmed down. You know, whereas you don't have to buy the gold bundle, you can pick right. six plugs. So if people are looking to save a few bucks and you do that, I think most people would agree the L1 would be on your list of plugs to have.
Yeah, definitely.
From there, you like you said, the would you like TrueVerb?
Yes, yeah, TrueVerb's great. Yeah,
TrueVerb saws. I like the REQs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, myself, R-Verb. I happen to like R-Verb.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all cool. And you know, they all have their own little characteristics. So, again, yeah. it's cool to mix up stuff and don't get stuck on, you know, just using one. I mean, obviously, we have our go-to favorites, but, again, it's that coloration thing. I think it's good to mix things up, and they do all have their own little characteristics and... Mm-hmm. nuances that you can, that definitely you can hear the contrast in, and I think maybe sometimes that shows through on some of my tracks, because you know I'll throw in these weird little elements maybe here and there, and they're almost subliminal. You don't really probably hear them like way up in the forefront, but if you take them away, you definitely notice that like something's missing. You know, there's like these little things that can kind of put things over the edge, you know, give them a little little cool twist that aren't just right in your face.
Yeah, that's that whole layering thing. It's important. And I guess that's true with music, right? I mean, you know, a song is still the same song without the third guitar, but you take it away and the song just sounds weird or bad sometimes. Right.
Yep, exactly.
Or some of the extra percussion elements or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Before I let you go, we've spent this entire time and I haven't mentioned a couple other cool products you have. So it's pretty fun. You have Identify, which I've already mentioned. I really like. Very aggressive, very edgy, but I still think you can use it in multiple formats. But you have some stuff that's more geared specifically, like 80s. Talk about the 80s one and then this Fluid AC. Tell me about that stuff.
Sound Freaks 80s was just something that I just felt like I had to do, and something that I just wanted to do for the passion of putting out an 80s library. It was just really cool. At the time, I was producing tons and tons of stuff, probably about 220 imaging tracks a month around this time for just all kinds of different formats. And 80s wasn't in one, so I thought, I'm going to make an 80s library. So I just started messing around with the idea, and just it got out of control. It became this whole big imaging suite, pretty much, that you can pretty much brand any kind of 80s thing. I mean, you get a bunch of logo themes that will really give you a custom theme-like edge if you need to do that. There's tons of usable components, mix-outs, and just really fun to do. Just really nostalgic stuff mixed in with 80s. I mean, real nostalgic stuff mixed in with modern edge. So it turned out really cool. It got a little bigger than I wanted it to, but it's definitely really cool. I had a lot of fun messing around with that.
That's a buyout, right? That's a buyout on your site?
Yeah, that's a buyout. Yeah. All of my stuff is like the boutique style buyout, but this one definitely is, and it's ridiculously priced well. But it was just fun messing around with all that old 80s sounds and using just weird gear, really weird stuff to do some of that.
Nice.
And Fluid AC is actually repped by a friend of mine in the Netherlands. And he approached me, a good friend of mine named Hans Everling, and he approached me and said he would like something.
Wait, I know that name. What?
SOB.
What's he with?
He's with,
what is it?
SOB, Audio Imaging.
Yeah, I must have stumbled. I mean, is that all he's with? Is he from something else as well?
He does a lot of jingles, but that's his company. That's his audio imaging company. They do jingles and stuff. So
I must have stumbled across his stuff then at some point, but his name was familiar for sure.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a while. So, yeah, I'm sure you've probably talked to him.
So this is AC effects, though. I mean, for AC radio?
Yeah, just really mellow stuff. No abrasive, harsh stuff. It's, I think, like 100 and 60 tracks, somewhere around there. And it's just really mellow, nice sounding stuff that won't freak listeners out when they're listening to Celine Dion and stuff like that. So it fits in well.
Do you think that producing for AC Radio or that package, for example, was easier, more difficult, or just a different beast than doing some of your more aggressive, you know, the Sound Freak stuff and the Identify?
It was kind of weird because I felt like I was cheating because, you know, they don't have all of the hard impacts and kind of the crazy panning that I would do in the CHR urban rock, you know, stuff like that. So I had to kind of shift gears and just think totally differently and just mellow everything down. And it took a while to kind of get into the flow of being mellow.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a cool. Little bit of a challenge, but it was fun. But I'd rather do the edgier stuff, definitely.
I was going to say, I mean, at the end of the day, you talk to most guys that either brand radio or produce the stuff, they seem to like the more edgier, either alt or CHR type stuff.
Yeah, way more fun than, you know, floating things, just soft whooshes and that. So, but I try to add an extra element that isn't, you know, I don't mean to make this library sound cheesy or anything. It's actually really cool. And I did, at least I thought I was working in some really cool modern sounds into mm-hmm. this AC vibe. So it was fun, and it was really cool to put an AC thing out. So
nice, right on, man. Just speaking in general, not just you know, running a business or being on your own in this you know, in the production world or audio world, but you know, what would be the one key piece of advice you would give somebody that's looking to either get started in this game or to succeed in this game?
Make sure you love it, and that you're gonna put in tons of time sitting, you know, at a desktop computer, staring at a screen, just reading about what's going on, you know, and search on the internet, you know, Google things. It's weird. When I started, there was no YouTube to go and like, hey, how do I do this filter sound? I mean, you're like 5 seconds away from answers all the time. So just absorb tons of knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, and read as much as you can. Maybe get like Rap Magazine, which is pretty cool. Search mm-hmm. for forums online, mix magazines, stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. Yeah. Well, Joe D'Augustine, I said your name right, I think.
Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Hey, you're the man. I really appreciate your time. Your knowledge is exceptional. People are going to appreciate it as well. I guess with that, I will bid you adieu and just say thank you so much for being a part of the show.
No, thank you. I hope there's enough here to keep, you know, a few people entertained or interested in something, that somebody takes away something. That would be cool if that happened.
Sound Freaks 80s Imaging Library.
Insert coin.
Authentic 80s themed imaging tools blended with modern edge. Sound Freaks 80s Imaging Library integrates the nostalgia of the 1980s while sounding unique and current.
An innovative plug-and-play buyout imaging suite with everything needed to completely image your 80s productions.
Combo sweepers.
Your commander's here.
Whites.
Whites.
Risers.
Anarchy IDs.
The best 80s music on planet Earth.
Excellent!
Only on Replay Radio's All 80s.
For even more production versatility, their separated components are also provided.
Logo-themed beds with mix-outs that give you a variety of customized branding possibilities.
Your commander's here.
Mix-outs that give you a variety of customized branding possibilities.
80s-infused loops.
Plus, breakers, impacts, drones, classic 80s drops.
You can't be working at no car wash. You wouldn't see Lionel Richie working at no car wash.
As well as other useful hybrid sound design elements.
It's bigger than you expected?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Prelude, hit song instrumental beds edited into 60 and 30 second lengths for easy promo flexibility. Stage specialty effects with an 80s edge.
Reliving the 80s. 100.4, 93.2, EFM.
80s pop culture was the best.
The 80s bring back so many great memories.
I think one of the best things to come out of the 80s has to be spandex. So
tonight I'm 80s hit song montages.
That's the power of love. Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto Domo.
Your solution for modern 80s imaging is now available in one extensive package.
Incorporate the memorable sounds of the 80s into your audio productions.
The Sound Freaks 80s Imaging Library.
The producers.
One more time, thanks to Joe DeAugustine. There's his 80s demo. Rip that right off his site, and you can check him out, soundfreaks.com. Again, one more time, it's soundfreqz.com, and then there's links to all of his cool products right there. I just think he does really good work. I mean, there's a lot of people that do really good work, but he's one of them, and I find his tools really easy to use in imaging. I don't know if it's the way they're produced, obviously, the way that they're processed, and also his naming structure. I mean, sometimes with so many imaging effects packages out there, sometimes the naming structure is like the one thing that'll kind of push me over the edge whether I want to get something. Because really, when you're producing for, I don't even know what maybe 6 to 8 formats that I do imaging for and a lot of stations, and I don't have time to remember that that perfect wipe was called FZQ12 wipe. But, you know, I need to know it's in the wipes and it's in order, whatever. So, anyway, there's a number of reasons why I respect Joe's work, but I thank him for joining me again. I mentioned it in the front of part one, but Rick Allen will be the next guest. Rick is, I think we can call him legend. Can we call him legend yet? I always feel weird about calling people legendary when they're still alive. Just feels counterproductive. But anyway, a very, very talented dude, one of the nicer guys you'll meet in this business. Anyone who ever mentions his name, it's like the first thing they say, oh, what a nice guy. Oh, and also extremely talented. And like I said, he's been around quite a while doing some stuff that has definitely been looked on by some other great talents. So he'll be the next guest. If you want to fire off some questions, you can do that. The easiest email address is just ryandreen@gmail.com. I'm pretty much locked into the Google wing, and I mean, if Google were to ever close down, I think that effectively ends my digital life. So hopefully they stay in business and they stay nice as can be expected out of one of the top Fortune 500 companies. Anyway, ryandreen@gmail.com. You can fire me off an email. You can also use the contact form on the website. Quick note about the website. I got over, I'm at 100 and some odd Facebook friends on the page, facebook.com/prodpod. So that's fun. So you can keep up to date with the podcast there. You can also be a part of the email list. I already gave you that address. Just tell me you want to be on the list. There's a contact form on the website at ryanontheradio.com. And then in the middle of the page, it's been there for a little while now, but I added some quick links to the recent posts. So if you just want to get like a quick gander at the stuff I've been doing, you can see that in the middle of the page. There's blog posts, and then there's the latest podcast apps. The blog I've been trying to update a little more often, but I still try and keep it to content that'll actually interest you. So whether it be like links, John Carter, for instance, Megahertz Studio, was giving away a pack of 50 free beds through that link up there. It's quality stuff, and if you need some, like I said, some extra beds in a pinch, that'll be a good way to do that. Anyway, if you want to check out the blog, I'm trying to update a little more often, but I will never post anything too ridiculous. Other than that, okay, I was actually going to tell a lame joke about limeys or lobster backs or red coats or something because it's Independence Day weekend in America, but that wouldn't be very nice, and I know there's lots of British folk listening to this podcast, and I have lots of British friends and people I respect over there, so I will not make any jokes that are against the fine folks of the UK. Yeah, there you go. Otherwise, happy birthday, America. Unless you're listening to this later down the road, then happy day. Okay, bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern?
Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The producers. Thanks for listening.